Another edition of Pittsburgh Pop with me, Tim Benz, and Rob Owen. Rob, as usual, from his basement, me from Clearwater Beach, Florida today in the scenic, spacious studio apartment Airbnb that we've got for the week on the beach here. Well, 4 days, and then I'm off to the Frozen Four to see Pittsburgh product Logan Cooley and the Minnesota Golden Gophers, I think, win the whole championship, but we'll see. That'll be fun. And we'll get to some sports conversation a little bit later on in our weekly edition of Pop Culture, which we give you on Mondays here at Trib Live. Rob, you can read him, TV Talk, TV Q&A. You can check me out, Breakfast with Benz on the sports side. Monday through Friday this week, our week-long draft prep feature that I sort of stocked away while I was on vacation. But Rob is not – actually, Rob, you're just back from vacation, right? You were on a cruise?
I am. I was in Miami, and we did a Disney cruise with the family to Cozumel.
How was that?
It was great. It was much fun. Everyone is very sad that they no longer have 24/7 access to a soft serve ice cream machine. That, I think, is the big hurdle that we have to get over being back home.
Oh, well, there's your Christmas gift right there. You know what? The closest I ever had to a soft serve ice cream machine in my house, you're of the same age, so maybe you can relate to this. The closest I ever had to a soft serve ice cream machine in my house was the Snoopy shaved ice maker.
Oh, yes.
Do you remember that?
I know that. I remember that. I always wanted one. Never got it.
Yeah, I wanted one too. And I don't think we ever came around to it until my sister was born and she wanted one as well. So then it was two kids ganging up on the parents. And I don't know if we ever used it as much as we thought that we would, because we got yelled at all the time for how messy it was.
Yes.
And you had to make the shave ice flavoring, you know, like there's a little effort that had to be put in by the kids, right?
Oh, you didn't just have like a squeezy thing of the, yeah. You had to mix it?
Well, yeah, maybe that's what it was. I thought it was powder that you mixed in with water.
Back
and then
it could have been. Wow.
Yeah. And then whatever it was, Rob, it eventually relied on the parents purchasing it when they, oh, we forgot this week. Oh, right. They were out of it, you know, like
right.
That. And then it was just a machine that made regular ice and you're pouring orange juice on it. And it wasn't quite the same. But seeing Snoopy crush that ice, you know, as he sat on top when he was
the
doghouse, right, taking a nap in the doghouse. Yes, that was always a victorious feeling when you got your shaved ice in your little paper cup. You know?
Of course. That's great. I love it. I wish.
All right. So let's get to some news items when it comes to the world of pop culture. We'll start locally, actually. Jessica Faith leaving WPXI.
Yes, Jessica Faith, who is a meteorologist at Channel 11, is the latest to depart. She is going to WRC-TV in Washington, D.C. Her husband has family in the Washington metro area. So PXI will be back down to three meteorologists again. So they just decided not to compete in the Pittsburgh Meteorologist War now that TAE and KDKA have five each. With Faith, PXI had four, but they never quite got to that fifth, and now they're going to be back scrambling to get to four again.
When you have talked to local news directors about this topic, do they think that the bigger roster equates to more viewers? Like, where do they think that you win with weather reporting?
Well, I think that whenever they do surveys or studies or focus groups on local news, it always comes back that weather is the number one thing people were looking for. Now, as is often the case with television, when you tell them that people want weather, they're going to super serve you weather and go over the top. So now one of the biggest complaints I get is there's too much weather coverage.
In this case, I think the audience is right. I will give it to the audience on this one.
Yeah. So here's the thing with five versus four meteorologists. I think with three meteorologists, which, you know, not that long ago, that was the standard. You had much more difficulty with scheduling. You had to ask somebody on the weekends to do a split shift, do the morning and the evening and late night. When there's vacation or fill in, you had to hire freelancer because you just didn't have the staff to cover it. I think with five, you're much less likely to need to use freelancers. And I think because the focus groups are saying we want weather, I think it is more justifiable to have a budget where you have five meteorologists as opposed to four, because of what those focus groups show. So, and, you know, there is bragging rights. When TAE was the first station to have five, they were able to use that to say the biggest weather team in town. Now they can't do that anymore because KD staffed up to five. So, yeah, but I think weather is definitely a battlefield that local news directors love to compete on.
Well, to dovetail into our second topic, if they're going to start doing newscasts basically at 3 o'clock now, like they're doing with Katie Kay and Heather Abraham with her show Walking Into the News, right, you now have all this other time where you can put in news items that are actually longer form, more, you know, more expansive, more meat on the bone reporting. You've got a breadth of time between 3 and 7 where you can dot these things in.
Right. And to that point, so Talk Pittsburgh isn't really a news
it's
show.
It's not. And I'm sort of being liberal in how I'm defining it. But
you are. But in fairness, the only other KD person who regularly appears in a segment on that show is Kristen Emery, the forecaster. They actually do a weather break, at least in the first two episodes of Talk to Pittsburgh that I watched, which is good because Heather just is all over that thing and it gives her a break to have a chance to interact with someone and not just be doing interviews. But it totally goes to your point that there, with more local programming, there is more opportunity to fit weather in, whether it's a production of the news department or not.
How's the show?
Talk Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a fairly ambitious show to be doing on a local basis because it's multi-topic. So you're going from interview to interview to interview. I thought the first episode was a little claustrophobic because it was literally all in the studio. Then in the second episode, I think they had two taped pieces that got you out of the studio a little bit. So if you remember the old Evening Magazine or PM Magazine, it was called different things in different parts of the country, but there was one in Pittsburgh, and it's got a little bit of that vibe when it goes out and does taped pieces. They did one tape piece, an interview with F. Murray Abraham, who had come back for a Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra production, and it wasn't her like walking around with him or her asking him questions. In fact, I don't even know if Heather was there, because it's just him talking. And it was really nicely cut together. It was not the kind of extensive feature piece you would ever see in a newscast today. But I think there is an audience for that kind of lifestyle programming. And I feel like Talk Pittsburgh, in the early episodes I saw, did a pretty good job of filling that. Again, more when they had a variety of pieces and it wasn't just all stuck in the studio.
Let's get to Rob Lowe's new show. Is it Unstable?
Unstable,
let's
yes.
Talk about this so I can have a conversation piece with my sister, who has long loved Rob Lowe.
Ah, well, if she likes Rob Lowe, she will probably like this show. But here's the other thing that I will say is a determining factor as to someone whether someone will want to watch Unstable with Rob Lowe on Netflix. And that is, if you remember two short-lived but well-reviewed shows from the early 2000s, one, Andy Richter Controls the Universe on Fox, and the other, Better Off Ted on ABC. This show, Unstable, is from the same guy who created Andy Richter and Better Off Ted. And if you liked either of those shows, you will definitely like Unstable because it is the same rat-a-tat-tat dialogue, the same kind of sort of blink and you'll miss it fast humor that's happening. And it's very funny. I mean, he sort of, Victor Fresco is the guy who created those two earlier shows and co-created the new Rob Lowe show, Unstable. And Victor Fresco even sort of steals from himself, because in Better Off Ted, he had two, it was set in a workplace and he had two lab rats. Unstable, set in a workplace and there are two lab rats, but instead of two guys, which was the case in Better Off Ted, it's two women in Unstable. I thought it was very funny. Again, it moves quick. There's unpredictable things that happen. It's got a great cast of characters beyond Rob Lowe and his son, John Owen Lowe, who play father and son. It's got a little bit of the warmth thing going on with the family dynamic, but then the outrageousness with the office antics. So I really enjoyed it. I hope people watch it, and I hope it gets renewed.
Well, let's get to a conversation point that we've had a number of times over in recent weeks. And now that baseball season is underway, baseball on AT&T Sportsnet still, at least for now. We thought it might be dead before the season started. As it turns out, at least one rumor that I'm hearing is, and this could change tomorrow, and like I said, it's just a rumor, but I'd been told at least once that it might happen that they can get through this year, at least with the Pirates, as opposed to some other regional sports networks, that at least the Pirates and their deal with AT&T Sportsnet might be okay through the rest of the season. But then next year, it's going to have to find a new place. And if that's the case, Rob, then that means it's going to link up at exactly the same time when the Penguins start, because, you know, when baseball ends, that's essentially when hockey starts, the last couple of weeks of September, usually when the preseason games hit, and then the first week or so of October is when the regular season games hit for hockey. So that's what I'm hearing on it. And I don't know why, with everybody more or less putting the final nail in the coffin for these regional sports networks a couple weeks ago, why there hasn't been something more uniform or something more definitive that's happened. It almost feels like these deals are living on borrowed time, or, you know, kind of going the hospice route this year or something. I don't know how else to describe it, but there's been no concrete dialogue that's been advanced to the viewers anyway. Maybe it's going on behind closed doors, but nothing publicly.
Yeah, I have not heard anything. I've not heard from anyone at AT&T Sportsnet. But the fact that they aired the home opener, it seems unlikely to me that you
the season opener, home opener is coming up. Coming up at the end of the week.
It seems unlikely to me that you would start the season and then stop it halfway through. I mean, it could happen, but I would think that it's a good sign, at least for the immediate future, that they started airing Pirates games last week.
Now let's get to one other sports item to wrap up, and that is the prospect of the NFL on every night of the week. which has been something that has now kind of taken wing. You know, a week ago we talked about the idea of flexing Sunday games to Thursday with 15 days notice. Like, that had been advanced by Roger Goodell at the owners' meetings. The owners didn't have a lot of appetite for it. They feel like they've ticked off their fans enough when it comes to the in-stadium experience, that they're trying to cultivate that as part of the NFL more again. And just by telling fans that if you're planning months out to come for a game on a Sunday and it gets moved to a Thursday, that's going to be too arduous. And are the ratings points going to be all that much better for a Thursday game just because you're getting a better matchup late? And then how does that interact with the networks that want to hold on to those games? Like, there's just a lot of hoops to jump through to make that happen. And the owners don't seem to have the appetite for it right now, but there has been some, I want to say, borderline conspiratorial thinking that because Roger Goodell said something in the pitch, the commissioner of the National Football League, the pitch about why this could happen, he referenced on a few occasions, I guess, at the owners' meetings, that during the pandemic, they played games on Tuesday, they played games on Wednesday, and they didn't see a spike necessarily in player injuries as a result. Like, the player safety angle to this is something too. The players don't want this to happen. The players hate playing on Thursdays as it is, and they've already put a new rule on. One thing they did pass during the owners' meetings was you can now work on two short weeks per year as opposed to just one. That had been the rule previously. They made it two. The players aren't thrilled about that. And because he was trying to defend with data that we haven't seen a lot of player injury increase, and he cited the pandemic year of 2020 when games were played on Tuesdays, games were played on Wednesdays, games were just pushed back an extra day, 2 days at a time, that maybe they're laying the groundwork for, we're just going to have the NFL on every night eventually, that there's going to be one standalone on every night of the week.
I do not think that will happen. I don't know. I mean, to me, that just, when you have too much of anything, it gets diluted and it lessens.
I agree with that. In order for Sunday afternoons and Monday nights to continue to be special, then it's got to be a special experience for the NFL. Right. Like, if you spread that, they no longer become special if you've got Bills 49ers on a Wednesday.
Right. And the other problem I see is that the networks, you know, the networks continue to pay more and more and more for sports rights, even though their audience is dwindling on both broadcast and cable. And I would think that they would object to paying more and more for sports rights if you then dilute the sport by making it
right.
Available all the time. So this is one conspiracy theory that I will not sign on to.
Rob, what do we have this week in TV talk and TV Q&A?
Let's see, TV Q&A. We've got a Chopper 11 sighting. There are commercials for Chopper 11, but wait. Didn't Chopper 11 go away when KDKA and PXI combined their helicopter resources? How can there possibly be images of a Chopper 11 now? That's TV Q&A.
All right.
TV Talk later this week, I've got Jury Duty, which is a new Amazon freebie series, which is essentially the Joe Schmo Show, the trial edition. And you may or may not recall that Joe Schmo, there were a lot of Schmoes from Pittsburgh on a bunch of different iterations of the Joe Schmo Show. So I thought it was worth taking a look at Jury Duty and also inquiring with our former Pittsburgh Schmoes if they had been contacted and or consulted for this new show.
All right, that's some TV Talk and TV Q&A. Breakfast with Ben's this week. It's sort of a partial week. I've got a lot of stuff that's stacked up in advance because I'm down here in Florida for the Frozen Four. Speaking of diluting topics, it's a week-long draft preview for the NFL draft. A week-long draft preview for our month-long preview of the NFL draft. That's coming up this week on Breakfast with Ben's.